Well, the ushers are going to pass the offering plates, and as they do, I would encourage you to open your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew chapter 13. I hope you continue to bring your Bible journal with you. If you don't have one, we do have some out in the lobby today. Be sure to go by and you can pick one up, and you could obviously take notes on it. We're going to be going through this again throughout the rest of the spring, all the way up to June as well. And so we want you to be faithful in following along as we walk through God's Word. Now, you know, in the last couple of months, starting back in January, we started a series called Beyond Belief, where we looked at the miracles of Jesus found in the Gospels, those moments, those things that, you know, that literally defied like common knowledge and human nature and the laws of nature of what Jesus did in the supernatural, the move of the hand of God. Now we're going to move into a new study, still in the Gospels, where we're going to be talking about the parables of Jesus. And we have entitled this sermon series, Beyond Words, where Jesus used his words as he walked on this earth. Obviously, as we talked about last week, there's one reason that Jesus came to this earth. He came as the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, to be the substitutionary sacrifice, to lay down his life for all of mankind, that he would take our sins to the cross, that he would nail them to the cross, that he would die, and that he would rise again. That is the reason that Jesus came. But not only was that the reason Jesus came, while he was here for that 33 years prior, he did a lot of things. He said a lot of things. He shared a lot of things. And all of those things were meaningful and they were important. And so the words of Jesus, again, he was not just biding time until we got to the place where he could die on the cross. They have purpose behind them. The miracles had purpose and the parables had purpose. And so as we walk through that word parable, is literally a word that means to cast alongside. It actually has the image of throwing. It's kind of like coming right alongside. It was an illustration that Jesus used to help to describe and to share and to illustrate a deep and a spiritual truth. And so it's kind of like the idea of, and I remember I saw Natalie, my daughter, sitting over here. She kind of messed me up today. Normally she sits over here, but today she's sitting on this side of the room and she thought I wouldn't see her. So much for that. And so, but I remember there's a video I have. I watched it not long ago where she would, when she was a young child, learning how to ride a bike. And you remember that video as she was trying to learn how to ride that bike and she's out there and she's falling over and she's crashing. And so Sherry was walking alongside of her and helping her to get her balance and get her balance. And finally she was able to ride the bike by herself. And so that's kind of the picture of what a parable is. It's kind of like a story that comes alongside of a truth that while you can't really get the truth, you don't really understand it, you really can't do it on your own, so to speak, that Jesus used these stories to come alongside of the truth so that people would have a deeper understanding. And so we're going to start this morning, Matthew chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 10, where Jesus gave us a kind of an explanation of what a parable really is all about. And so turn to page 64 in your Bible journal. We're going to start with verse 10 in Matthew chapter 13. Here's what it says. It says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? In other words, they came and said, Jesus, like, why are you not making sense, is really what they said. In verse 11, it says, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Now, this is not Jesus saying that only a certain group of people would be allowed to understand the truths of God's word. This is not an argument for predestination. What it really is an argument for the idea that there are some people who choose not to understand. They choose not to hear. They choose not to listen. They choose not to receive. Every single week when preachers get up all around the world and preach the gospel, there are people who are in the rooms, in those church buildings, that will hear the word of God, but they will choose not to respond. And so that's the same idea. And so as Jesus, again, walked through that 3 years of ministry before he went to the cross, in every place that he went, when he taught, when he shared, when he, whether teaching in parables or whether teaching in plain language, there were always people who heard, and there were people who understand and believed, and there were also people who heard, and maybe they even understood, but they chose not to believe. And so that's what Jesus is saying. And so he is giving these stories because there are people who have hard hearts. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. We know that there are people whose hearts were hardened to the truth. And so today, nothing is different than it was thousands of years ago. People today, their hearts are hardened. Which brings us to the parable that we're going to spend time in today in Matthew chapter 13. It's one of the first parables that Jesus shared. It's actually, I think this is the fourth parable that in chronologically that you look when Jesus shared. And so it's the story that actually kind of illustrates what Jesus was trying to say in that passage in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and following, of explaining the different types of understanding and the different types of choices that people make when they hear truth. And so with that in mind, let's go back to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to go to the first verse. Verse 1 of Matthew chapter 13, here's what it says. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the sea. This is the Sea of Galilee up near Capernaum. And great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and he sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, but because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, when they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That statement, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, he who actually wants to understand, he who has that kind of heart to truly grasp the word of God, like grab a hold of what I'm sharing with you. It's important, is what Jesus was saying. But now what he gave here, this parable of the sower, as he walked out in Capernaum, you can kind of picture it in your mind. It was a beautiful morning, much like today, probably a little bit warmer than it was when I left the house this morning. It was 34 degrees in April. Makes no sense to me whatsoever. But, you know, we have 70 degrees in January, and then we have 30 degrees in April. You know, it's the world is coming to an end. Tomorrow's the eclipse. It's all over tomorrow, baby. And I'm just kidding. Okay. So some people are saying that. Not true. But Jesus kind of came out on that beautiful morning, you know, and he walked out and he looked up, he saw the sun in the sky and thought he'd walk down by the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And so he walks down by the sea. And of course, as we know, we've talked about it a lot over this last couple of months. Every time Jesus walked anywhere, he couldn't really walk alone. The people started following, people started crowding around. They wanted to hear and see what this man had to say. And so when Jesus came out of his house and he starts making his way down to the seashore, all of a sudden, man, the people just came floating to the shore. They just came running to find him and to see him and to hear him. And so probably because Jesus wanted to, you know, kind of like he wanted to get away a little bit. He got in a boat and he kind of went, it's a little bit offshore. He's kind of floating out there a little bit to keep people away from him, to keep people from getting close to him, I guess, you know. And not that he didn't care about people, but I mean, that's what the passage says. So he floated out a little bit. But then it says he began to teach them. And he began to teach them using one of these parables, one of these stories that he cast alongside of truth so that people would kind of have an understanding of what he was trying to get at, a deeper meaning, deeper understanding. And really what he gave to us in this passage is a picture of four different types of hearts. Four different hearts, which by the way, in today's world, 2,000 years later, here's what I will tell you. The four hearts that Jesus described on that seashore that day 2,000 years ago are an exact description, an explanation of the four kinds of hearts that exist on the earth today. There is no one on the face of the earth today that does not fall within these four categories. Basically, what Jesus gave to us in this passage, in these first few verses here of Matthew chapter 13, is a deep understanding and a deep meaning of what every person on the face of the earth looks like. Not physically, but spiritually. What their hearts were like, who they are, what really kind of at the essence, at their very soul of who these people are, the four different types of hearts. And so today we're going to walk through these four different types of hearts. But before we do, I do want you to get a pen out. I do want you to make sure you're following along. I want to make sure if you've got a phone, you're, you know, open up your notes app and make sure you're kind of keeping track here. And here's why. Because at the end of this message, I'm going to ask you a question. And what I want you to do is I want you, and by the way, this is the reason Jesus shared this message to those people gathered on the shores of the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago. What he was trying to do was elicit a response from them. He was trying to make sure that when he got done, that the people in that place would have the opportunity, after hearing what he shared, that they would be able to answer the question, what kind of heart do I have? And today, that's my question for you. Because there's only four types of people. That's it. Only four types of people on the face of the earth. And today, what I want you to do as we walk through this passage, not my words, his, is what type of heart do you have? What type of person are you? Because it makes all the difference in the world. So the four different types of hearts. Now we go to this passage, and the first heart we see is the hard heart. Look what it says back in verse 4. In verse 4, it says these words. It says, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. So as the sower, again, Jesus is sharing the story. The sower goes out, and he's got the bag around his shoulder, and he's got that big bag of seed there. He's going out to plant with the hope of growing something. That's why you plant seeds, the hope of growing something. And so he goes out with that bag, and he begins to throw out the seed, hoping to have some kind of crop that comes from it later. But it says in the first part that he threw the seed, and it fell by the wayside. Now, let's get a picture of what that wayside looks like. I've got a photograph here that I'll show you of what a wayside looks like. We kind of think in our mind of kind of a dirty, dusty road out in the middle of the desert, you know, kind of where it's really sunny, really hot, where nothing really thrives and nothing really grows. It's kind of this picture of that we see here, this dusty, dirty road. And you can imagine, and packed down by all the traffic that has traveled that road, you can imagine that if you went out there today and threw out some seed to plant something, probably not going to grow much there, right? It's probably not going to result in anything of value. You're not going to go out there in a few months and there's going to be, you know, big stalks of ear. There's, you know, a corn stalks of ears. Wouldn't that be funny? I'm an ear farmer, actually, and you did go, no, stalks of corn that have grown out there. You know, that's probably not going to happen right there on that farm if that is where the seed fell. And so Jesus starts in talking about this kind of heart. And you look at this and you think that is a dusty, dark, hard, packed down road. And what Jesus is describing is that same type of heart. A heart that is hard, a heart that is packed down, a heart that is not going to result in anything. And in fact, he goes on to say that after the seeds fell on that hard, packed, dusty road, that the birds came and ate it. And so again, what would happen if you threw seeds down today in April? If you threw seeds down on that road, here's what would happen. Man, the birds would come flocking. Man, they would show up. Out in the backyard of my house, I've got a birdhouse out there that I didn't put up. It actually is a birdhouse that was there before we bought the house. But last year, because I love photography, I love taking pictures of birds. And while I don't have any eagles in my backyard, it's very, very discouraging. But we do have a bunch of birds, right? And so I went out and bought this big bag of bird seed. And so I put some bird seed in that bird feeder in the backyard. And as I put the bird feeder in there, I promise you, like, there has been no seeds in that birdhouse for about, well, 15 or 16 years since we moved into that house. We moved into the house in 2006. So for a long time, there had been no bird seed in that feeder out in the backyard. But I'm telling you, I went out and I filled it up with bird seeds last year. And I promise you, by that afternoon, there were birds like crazy that had found that bird seed. I don't know if they can smell it. I don't know if, you know, there's some, like, you know, figurative, like, big logo, like, you know, big golden arches that go up above the bird seed, you know, kind of in their eyes, and they see it like McDonald's is open, and they come into the drive thru. I don't know, but the birds were everywhere. And that's exactly what Jesus is describing on that hard-packed, dusty, dirty road, that if the seeds fell there, the birds are going to come and they're going to take it away. Now, here's the illustration that he gives to come alongside of that kind of a heart. The kind of heart of people who would walk into this room with a cynicism, with skepticism, that would walk into this room or to any church on the face of the earth. And when they walk in the room, they've already made the decision before they ever get to the room that everything they're going to hear is a waste of time. We live in a world today that there were many people who have that same view. And while they may never come into this room, if the minute you bring up the idea of Christianity, the moment you bring up the word, the Bible, or the gospel, or certainly if you bring up the name Jesus, instantly it elicits a response from them that is a negative response. Like they have no desire to hear it, and they might even ridicule you for thinking it or believing it or saying it. They will make fun of you. They will laugh at you. Why? Because their hearts are at the point where it is a hard, packed heart that has no room for and no interest in hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the first heart. That's a heart that is a very real heart, that's a very real condition, a real situation in our culture today. Now, does that mean that heart can't be changed? Absolutely not. Jesus came, we talked about it last week, to seek and to save that which is lost. He's not willing that any should perish, that the gospel is powerful, and the gospel can break through even the hardest of hearts, that there are people today that have been atheists but yet have come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. There have been people who have been absolutely opposed to and antagonistic to the picture, the idea of the gospel, but yet their hearts have been radically transformed and radically changed as a result of hearing that word. It does not mean the hard heart can't change, but it does mean that the hard heart takes a lot of extra work and a lot of extra prayer. There are people in this room who have moms and dads and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters that fall into this category, where you have been praying for them, that praying that God would break through, praying that God would bring hope, that God would bring truth, that God would bring an answer to them, and you have been praying that somehow, some way, that hard heart would change. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you what Teresa, sitting over here, what she shared about her son that she'd been praying for 20 years, praying that God would get, 30 years. You're not that old, see? So she started praying when she was 1 year old. So praying for 30 years that God would get through to the heart of her son. And you remembered a few weeks ago when we were walking through that 21 days of prayer and fasting that first week, she texted me on a Saturday night saying, "You're not going to believe what I heard. My son reached out and accepted Christ." You see, the hard heart is never outside of the power of the gospel. But we've got to make sure we continue to do what a mom did. The power of a praying mom. The power of a praying dad. Like, we've got to pray, right? So that's the first heart, the hard heart. And that's the description, that's the picture that Jesus gives us. He next goes on and gives us a picture of a different kind of heart. He gives us a picture of the volatile heart. The volatile heart. Look what it says in verse 5. In verse 5, it says this, "And some," talking about the seeds, the sowers throwing the seeds out, "some of the seeds fell on stony places where they did not have much earth." Now, that picture is kind of this. I'll give you another illustration here. A picture of stony earth. And so here you can kind of imagine, this is a picture actually that I took in Israel, down near Masada. And if you've ever been down to Masada, there's not a lot of stuff growing down there. It's a hard and rocky place, and there's stones everywhere. And so this is the next picture that Jesus gives us, the next in this parable, coming alongside of truth. The next illustration that he gives is where the seed fell on the stony ground. Now, you can imagine that if you went out today and you took some seed and you threw it in areas like this, probably not going to grow much. It's probably not going to result in much, but maybe, just maybe, that there might be a little sprout that comes up. In fact, in this picture, if you'll see, go back to the picture before, if you would, the last picture. There you go. If you see in that far left-hand corner of that picture, you'll see some things there. Can somebody tell me what you see in that picture? There's the greenhouses, because in that place, go back to the picture before. Take your finger off of the enter button. There we go. Okay, in the far left-hand corner. So there's some greenhouses there where some things have actually started to grow there. And even in the midst of this rocky, stony place, like things can indeed grow. And in fact, if you go to that area today, as you're driving down to Masada, going down near the Dead Sea, it's just all dirt and stones and rocks and brown, and there's nothing. But every once in a while, you'll come into an area where things are popping up. Okay, get ready. Hit the enter button. Because sometimes you'll see something like this. Sometimes you'll see where in that kind of ground, some plants might just pop through. And they're kind of weird. Some of you see that like in your driveways or maybe in your sidewalks. My wife has been bugging me in a kind way. She's watching. I love you. She had knee replacement surgery last week, so she's not able to get out here. She's at home watching. And so I mean this in the most caring of ways, that she has been encouraging me in the kindest and sweetest ways with kind words and smiles on her faces. And with, yeah. Okay, so she's. We need to reseal our driveway because right now you can go out. We're almost at the point where in some parts of our driveway, I need to mow it because there are some things that are popping up through the asphalt. I mean, you've seen, some of you have had that situation, right? And so sometimes those things kind of happen, right? Where cracks will happen and yes, something will bud, something will pop up and something will grow. But yet what Jesus gives us in his pictures is yes, sometimes the seeds will fall on the stony ground. And yes, sometimes because it's there, that it will quickly begin to spring forth and you will see life and you will see growth and you will see green that will come from those seeds. But then he goes on to say that then the sun will come out and it gets so hot, it will scorch the earth and it dies. Much like this next picture, that same kind of ground will end up looking like that, where even if there is some green stuff that might sprout forth, that it's not going to last long because it can't take root. That it can't grow deep. It can't have solid roots that can be nourished and that can thrive. It's not going to happen because it's that kind of ground. So that second kind of heart is the volatile heart. And the volatile heart is a heart that is driven by the emotion of the moment. In other words, maybe people who would walk into a room much like this one, and they would come here and they would hear the beautiful music with Scott and with Charles and with others on the stage, the worship that takes place, and they're moved by it. And man, it makes them feel good. And make no mistake, even an unbeliever sitting in a room like this, when they hear some of this, like, it does elicit a response, because most of the songs that we do, in fact, I would beg to say, like almost all of the songs that we do, they come from the Word of God. They're words that come from passages of Scripture. And even though they're set to music, it's the Word of God. And the Word of God is living and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And man, it will cut you right in half. And so even those songs, if someone, an unbeliever sitting in the room, they will be moved by what they hear because it's the Word of God. And so as they hear those songs, the emotion begins to impact them, and they begin to be moved, their spirit, their soul, their heart. They can feel something stirring in there. But the problem is this, is that while they might be moved by the emotion, and they might even feel good about a message that they hear, something that an encouraging word that a preacher might say that makes them feel really good, and they get excited, and then they might even respond to it in the room. But yet then they leave this place, and it quickly has been forgotten. Because what they were moved by was not the power of the Word of God and the gospel. They were moved by the emotion of the moment. And that's the volatile heart. That's the heart that Jesus describes in this picture. And I can't tell you how many, I wish I would have kept track, but there would have been no way to do so, of the individuals that I've spoken to in this room that have responded in a worship service, they've responded to a message, they've responded to a moment, where they may even have walked down these aisles, they've come down to this altar and they've had the opportunity of talking with me or maybe one of our other team members here and say, man, I feel like, man, God was speaking to me today. Man, I just believe like that message was for me. Like if no one else was in the room, that message was for me. I can't tell how many times people have told me that very thing, but yet nothing changes and nothing happens. And while they're excited as can be about what God began to do in their life in that moment, they heard the word and they received the word. But here's the key. They didn't believe it. They didn't trust in it. They didn't receive it as the gospel of Jesus coming to die and rise again for them. And they didn't become a person who trusts in Christ as the Lord and Savior. See, those kinds of people are the volatile heart, the ups and down people. And we all know people like that, driven by emotion. And one day they're on cloud nine. The next day they are at the lowest lows. And that's the heart that Jesus describes here. But then he goes on. So he's talked about the hard heart. He's talked about the volatile heart. And then he goes thirdly and talks about the distracted heart. The distracted heart. So let's go back to this passage and let's look in verse 7. And it says, and still more seeds, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Okay, so here's a picture. Let's pick up this next picture, again, the illustration here, of this piece of property here. Now, Tony Bird, where's Tony? Tony, I want you to know, that picture is a picture I took on your farm. If you remember, back in October, November, the November or October, whenever it was, I took it. So that's your piece of, I will pay you a royalty for using that photo. So that's Tony's property. And so that's the property. Man, and you see there, like there's thorns everywhere. Like if you walk through there, like it would be a bad day. You would walk through there, man, your skin would be all ripped up. It would be sliced. It would be, you know, you'd be pulling through there. You'd be scratched like crazy. Like you can see that. But what you can see, and this is very important, you can see that in the midst of this, what do you see down like in the bottom of that picture? What do you see there? You see green. In the midst of the thorns, you see some stuff that's growing, right? In the midst of all that thorn and all the stuff that if you walk through it, it would rip you to shreds, you see some things that are growing there. Now, this is the distracted heart. Now, let me tell you what this person is. This person is a person who hears the word of God and is moved by the word of God and responds to the word of God and accepts the word of God and believes in the word of God and trusts in Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the gospel has radically transformed them for all of eternity, as it always does. But what ends up happening, and Jesus talked about this, that in the moment that these individuals came to the place where they had the opportunity of hearing that message and hearing the gospel, that the cares of this world, the problems, the challenges, the issues, the trappings began to creep up and destroy. Look what it says in verse 22 of this passage where Jesus describes and explains what this is. He says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. Now in your Bibles, you ought to underline or circle the word unfruitful. Because here's what Jesus gives to us in this distracted heart. He explains to us the person who is a follower of Jesus Christ, a person who's given their heart and their minds, their lives, their souls to Jesus. They're going to spend eternity in heaven. But what they're doing is they're missing out on the joy of their salvation in the here and now because they're distracted by the things of this world. You see, so while that green there is growing amidst the thorns, what ends up happening is because if we go to the next picture, is the thorns are so significant and their challenges there are so great and the temptations seem to be so enticing for us in our human nature that while we might be a person who is a part of the family of God, it is the green has sprouted forth, like we are growing in our faith, that all of a sudden those thorns that can be so destructive, man, they just wrap us up. And man, it's not going to kill us, but man, it's certainly going to keep us from growing in the way that God intends. It's going to keep us from becoming all that God wants us to be. And that's why that word unfruitful is so important, because it means this, is that you will not die, but yet you will just not have a lot of life. That it's not going to kill you. It's not going to destroy you. It's not going to keep you from the kingdom of heaven, but here's what it will do. It will make sure that in the midst of the growth process that God intends, like literally all we're doing is hanging on for dear life. And there are Christians today in this room who are sitting here hearing my voice in this place that fall into that category. That man, because of the temptations of this world and because of the challenges of this world, you've allowed that stuff to choke out your spiritual growth. So that while you are a part of the family of God, you're a withering part of the family of God. That there's not much growth, that you're not impacting much, you're not doing much, that not much is flowing from you because it can't. Because you're allowing yourself to be choked out by the distractions of the world. That's the third heart. And then, of course, the fourth heart, the tender heart. Go back to this passage, verse 8. First part of that verse, it says, but others, seeds, they fell on the good ground and yielded a crop. They fell on the good ground and they yielded a crop. Jesus explained it in verse 23 of chapter 13. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces. In other words, they're fruitful rather than the last heart that was unfruitful. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. In your Bibles, I would underline or highlight those three statements there that are given. The first one is hears the word. The second one is understands it. And the third one is and bears fruit and produces. Because if you ever wonder like what the Christian life is all about, in just a couple of words, Jesus gave us the answer. In just a couple of words, in one sentence, in one verse, he gave us a clear description and explanation of what the Christian life is all about. And here's what the Christian life is all about: that we hear the word and that we understand the word, and then we will produce and bear fruit. That's really what it's all about. That's the gospel in a nutshell, the Christianity in a nutshell. That's what it is. And that, by the way, is what our mission statement here at Thomas Road lends itself to. Our mission statement, you've heard it a million times. I pray that if you're here longer, you'll hear it a million more, is to change our world by developing Christ followers who love God and who love people. And that very statement that comes literally from the words of Jesus in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts chapter 1, and Matthew chapter 22, that what we get in the first part of that is to change our world. How do we change the world? Somebody yell out to me, how is the world changed? Okay, let me make it easy. So is the world changed by programs? Is the world changed by books that you read? Is the world changed by music? Is the world changed by the gospel? You see, changing our world is the gospel. In other words, what does the word say? Here's the word. That's why this church, for going all the way back to 1956, has been passionate about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we will never stop. It's why until the return of Jesus himself, we're going to continue to preach the gospel. Why? Because that's how we change the world. That mission statement goes on to say, we change our world by developing Christ followers. Remember what Jesus just said. Here's the word, second part, and understands it. Okay? So understanding it is becoming the Christ follower. That's discipleship. That's growing in our faith. That's not allowing the thorns of this world to choke out our spiritual growth and to stunt what God intends for us to become. Like, we're allowing ourselves to grow and to blossom and to be fruitful. Like that's what God intends for all of us. And so, again, our mission statement to change our world, the gospel, by developing Christ followers, and understands it. Like, we're actually growing in our faith. And then the last part of our mission statement is that love God and love people. And what did Jesus say in the last part of that verse? People who hear the word of God and they understand it and they produce and bear much fruit. How do we bear fruit? We bear fruit in two ways. By doing what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 22, loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So we go back to the picture of this ground that Jesus talks about, the seed that falls on good ground. It looks a lot like this picture, the kind of ground that you see where it just looks like that's a kind of ground, a kind of soil that you know, man, that's going to produce some good stuff, right? And in fact, not much longer after this, as things begin to grow and as it's watered and it begins to thrive, it looks a lot like this next picture where we see like absolutely fruit growing. I don't know, it may be tobacco. I have no idea, okay? So forgive me. It's just a picture I downloaded. I have no idea what's growing there. I hope it's something valuable. I hope it's something good. What did I know? It's not. It's not Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts are not growing on those plants. But regardless, it's producing fruit, right? And that's what Jesus intends for all of us to do, to hear the word of God, to understand the word of God. That means to grow in it. And then to bear much fruit. That's the picture of the Christian life. And that's what this parable of the sower really is all about. Because there's really only four kinds of people. Right back to where we started. They're the kind of people who will hear or may not hear because they don't care the word of God. And they will reject it in an instant. Their hearts are hard, packed down. No way that it can take root because they have no interest whatsoever. The second heart, the volatile heart. Man, they might hear it and they're all excited about it, but nothing really happens because they don't truly embrace it and believe it and receive it as the gospel. Then the third heart, that distracted heart, that man, they hear it and they believe it and they receive it and it is theirs. But man, the minute that things begin to creep in, the minute the thorns begin to happen, and whether the thorns of challenge or the thorns of success, and by the way, both are thorns, that they come in and they begin to choke out what God intends for us to become. Or that fourth heart, the tender heart, the kind of heart that is ready to receive the word of God, ready to grow in it, and ready to make a difference because of it. So I told you at the beginning that I wanted you to pay attention today because we're going to ask a question. And the question is just simply this: what kind of heart do you have? In which category do you fall? What kind of person are you? Because in the hearing of my voice right now in this room, or maybe through the internet or through television or through radio, here's what I know. All four hearts are hearing my words right now. There are people who will hear my words right now, maybe in this room, maybe outside of this room, and they are that hard heart. Man, they have no interest whatsoever in the gospel. Maybe it's that person who's turning their radio knob and they're getting to the place where they stop and say, okay, what's this? And they hear me speaking and they might listen to it for a little bit and they're like, oh, I don't want to hear this stuff. Like, if that's you, don't turn it. Or maybe you're that second heart. We're like, man, oh man, that music's awesome. Man, I love that music. I love that worship, man. I love that statement that Jonathan made. That, man, that was really cool. I love what he had to say. Man, it made me feel good. Awesome. But maybe you're that heart that is so volatile that while you might like what you hear, you're not allowing it to do anything in your life. Or maybe you're the third. Maybe you're sitting in this room today. Maybe you've been sitting here for decades. You've been sitting here, maybe going all the way back. There are still people alive today that were here when this church was founded. Maybe that's you. Well, you've been hearing this message for so many years, but yet because of the stuff of life, that basically you're still a babe in your Christian walk. Maybe you accepted Christ 30, 40, 50 years ago, maybe a year ago, but nothing really has changed. Man, yes, you're a Christian. You know, but I ask you, hey, are you sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Absolutely I will, because Jesus died and he rose again for me, and I believe that with all my heart. But yet there's no fruit. Maybe that's you. I pray that the majority of the people who hear my voice right now are people who fall in that fourth category. But here's the thing. There really are only two people in this world and beyond that can answer the question for you. One is God, because he knows the condition of the heart. And the second is you. So which group describes you? And if it describes it in any other way than the fourth, then my challenge to you today is to move past the hard soil of the heart, to move past the volatility of the stony heart, to move past the distractions of that heart that is surrounded by the stuff, the thorns that choke life out, and get to the fourth and become what God intends today. Jesus died and rose again so that you could hear it, so that you could understand it, and so that it could produce and bear much fruit. And as you've heard me say so many times before, the only thing that can stop the will of God for your life is you. It's the only thing. The problems of life, the people in your life, even the bad examples in your life, nothing in this world can stop the will of God for your life except for you. So my encouragement, get out of the way and let God do what only God can do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for explaining to us in clear ways, in clear terms, what this thing called the gospel is all about. And God, I pray for all of us in this room. I pray for me personally. God, I pray that my heart would never be anything other than the tender heart. God, I pray that when we get to the place where, in the tender heart, where we start moving into that distracted heart, God, that we will quickly turn and run back to, Lord, to what you want us to be. God, for the people in this room who've never gotten to the place where they've accepted and believed and heard and have allowed it to transform them through trusting in Christ as their Lord and Savior that are in this room or watching, listening, God, let this be the moment that the hard heart becomes tender, that the volatile heart, the distracted heart, God, that they become tender. Lord, let this be a moment where we change the condition of our heart and soul to become all that you want us to become. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, our team is gathering here, and as we do every week, in a moment we're going to stand and we're going to sing through just one time a song that allows us an opportunity to respond. Nothing magical about the song. There's nothing magical about the words of the song. What's magical, and magic's really not the right word, but what's supernatural about it is this, is that the gospel today is for you. And the gospel is clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That Jesus came looking for you because he wanted you to become a child of God. He wanted you to believe and trust in him as Lord and Savior, to turn from the sin of rejection of Christ and to accept him and trust in him, believe in him. So if you're here today or watching, listen, and you've never made that decision, in a moment we're going to stand together and this altar is going to be open for you to respond. And our team is here. Man, we'd love to talk with you and to pray with you, to share with you what it is that Jesus wants to do in your life today. Maybe you are in that second group. Maybe you're in that group where, man, I've heard it. Man, it sounds great. You're all excited about it. But, man, you've never really taken that next step of embracing it and receiving it as yours. Our team is here. We'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe you're in the third group. Maybe you're in the third group where you have heard it and you have accepted it. You've believed it. You've received it. It's yours. But, man, you just are not growing because you've let the stuff of this world hold you back. To be the thorns that surround you, to pull you away. Maybe today what you need to do is come and kneel at this altar and say, God, I pray that you would remove the thorns in my life and in my heart. And Lord, allow me to become all you've intended. So whatever your decision is, whatever your condition is, whatever your heart is, and you, I hope, have asked yourself that question and you've been honest with yourself here. There's no point in lying to yourself about what that heart is, right? I pray that if you're in any of those three categories, I pray that today you'll make a response, whether it's coming to the altar and pray, whether it's coming to talk to one of our team members, whatever it might be, I pray that right now you respond. So let's stand. We're going to sing through just one time, and then we're going to be done today. But I just pray that you'll respond in this moment, not allowing anything to keep you from becoming the fourth heart that God wants you to have. Scott?
This is my desire to honor you, and Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all I have within
God, today as we walk out of this place, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, continue to work in our hearts, Lord, to make us all that you want us to be. And God, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory in what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember, as you leave today, we have lots of organizations in the lobby there. We'd love to talk with you. If you don't have one of the Bible journals, I encourage you to pick one up as you leave today. God bless you. We'll see you back next week. Thank you for worshiping with us today. We're so glad you joined us. If you prayed to receive Christ today, we'd love to hear from you. We want to help you as you begin this new journey of faith in Jesus Christ. Send an email to the address on the screen, pastor@trbc.org. Likewise, if you've never accepted God's free gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus, but you'd like to know more, we're here to help you. Just reach out to us and we'd love to tell you more. Our mission at Thomas Road is to change our world by developing Christ followers who love God and love people. If you'd like to help us fulfill that mission by giving to our ministry, go to the link on your screen and make your contribution today. Help us help others with the life-changing truth of God's love.